Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Masechet Kiddushin Daf Samach Dalet Amud Aleph. We're going to take a look at Perek Gimel Mishnah Chet, which is divided up into two or perhaps three parts of the way that it's laid out in our Masechet. Kiddushti Et Biti. We continue with the theme that we've been involved with over the last couple of podcasts, which is Ne'amanut of a person, specifically the father of a girl, to testify that he betrothed this girl, to whom he betrothed this girl, etc. Kiddushti et biti. A person says, I accepted kiddush on behalf of my daughter. Kiddushtiha v'gerashtiha kshiktana. And he says, I was accepted kiddushin and I accepted gerushin when she was a ktana, v'harei ktana, and she's still a ktana when he's making this testimony. Ne'aman, he's believed, and her status now is that she is a grusha and psula l'kuhuna. If he gives the same testimony, but right now she's already above age, we don't believe him, and she's still considered single, never married, and kshera lekuhuna. If he testifies that she was taken captive, and he redeemed her, no matter what her age, he is not believed. So we now have to figure out what's the difference between the first case and the second two when he's not believed. Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa, what's the difference between them? Reisha Biyadeh, the answer is that the first case is a case that right now he could do, anyways, he could accept Kiddushin, he could accept Gerushin on her behalf, and therefore, since it's in his hands to do it, we believe him that he did do it. Seifa La Biyadeh, the Seifa, whether it is like Rashi reads it, which is about the case where she's an adult, or like the Gemara later seems to prefer, which is the case of she was taken captive, neither one of those are things that the father has control to effectuate. Velo, is that not true? When she was a ktana, he could have married her off to a halal, the child of forbidden Kohanic union, the kapasla kunata, and right away she would be psula la kuhuna without his testifying to her being a grusha. So the answer is halokasha k'rabbi dustoy ben Yehuda. Perhaps our Mishnah follows Rabbi Dustai ben Yehuda. Bnei Yisrael mikveh tahara l'chalalin. Bnei Yisrael are like a mikveh for a chalalin, meaning a halal has relations with the Bat Yisrael. She doesn't become psula. Of course, that doesn't fix him. It's not really like a mikveh, but she doesn't become psula. Arev Rabbi Adol Asiya l'mamzer, but he could have married her off to a mamzer or someone else with whom kiddushin or tofes, but it makes her a halala psula l'kuhuna. The answer is Kirby Kiwadam, and kiddushin tofes and machavi lavin. That he doesn't have the ability to do that because the kiddushin wouldn't be tofes. Rabbi Adol Asiyal Monolakoin Gadol. Now this takes us to a three-way machloket and how to understand Rabbi Akiva's approach in Yevamotaf Memtet about en kiddushin tofes in mechayvei lavin. How far is Rabbi Akiva willing to make that go? To say that it's only chayvei lavin, and that's where he is more machmir than Rabbi Yeshua and the Chachamim. Or do we say that it even refers to Isur Asay, or even Chayvei Asay? How far does it go? Meaning, does Rabbi Akiva say any marriage is prohibited, Kiddushin on Tofes? Or if the prohibition is simply an Asay, then it is, but further than that, it's not? So, let's see. So we could say that this follows Rabbi Simoi's take on Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Simoi Omer, Minakolos, Rabbi Akiva, Mamzer Chutz Me'amon Alekon Gadol. He says, if an almana marries a kohen gadol, the child is chalal, but not a mamzer. Shemra Torah, the Torah says, lo yikach, almana lo yikach, v'lo yichalel. Meaning, chalulimoseh, ve'enoseh mamzerim. The result of a kohen gadol marrying an almana is chalal. Okay, so the answer is, what about Kirubi Yeshevav? My bonus of Echel Kibin Yosef Shay Omer Koshe in Lobi Yisrael of Vlad Mamzer. Rabbi Shivav had a different take on Rabbi Akiva. He said that Rabbi Akiva said any time the union is prohibited, even if it's an Isur Asay, the child is a mamzer, kiddushin on tofes. So therefore, that's why the father does not have the ability to mess her up. So hanech Rabbi Shivav, ila tamei denafshe. So that'll work if Rabbi Shivav is only saying his own reason. But if he's disagreeing with Rabbi Simoi, if his statement is his own statement, really it's a parallel to Rabbi Simoi, and he's saying where we oppose Rabbi Akiva, who extended Mamzerut so far, but maybe it's just as far as Rabbi Simoi did. But if he's coming to disagree with Rabbi Simoi, then he could marry her off to Chayve Aseh, for instance, like a Mitzri and a Domi, first couple of generations, and the kid would be, should become a Chalala. So we always have that possibility, which means that if our argument for the difference between the Reisha and the two cases in the Seifa, when she's a Gdola and Shvuya, are because the father has control over it, there's always, we could always find a situation, even according to Rabbi Akiva, where father could have, while she was a Ktana, married her off to somebody, Kedushin would have been Telfis, and she would have been Tzula Lakuna. So he has control over that. So, Amar Ravashi. Ravashi then says, Fatisbra, think about it. Reisha Mishum to be Adahu? You, the whole time you're spinning your wheels because you think the reason for the Reisha is because Biyado, it's in his hands to control it. Need to be Adahu Lakacha, Biyado Lagarsha? That's not even true, because in the Reisha, she's a Ktana. He could accept Kiddushin for her, but by the way, there'd need to be somebody who'd be willing to give those Kiddushin. It's not up to the father alone. And second of all, how's he going to force the other guy to give her Kiddushin? That's not up to him. All right, so that doesn't work. But Elo Amar Hai Delonecha Begava. If a guy said, I don't want to marry her, Mimatsi Mekadesh Nielei Balkorcha, can he force this other guy to marry his daughter Balkorcha? Ela Am Ravashi. Ravashi says as follows, Reisha de Rachmona Hemne. The Torah gave Nemonu to a father when his daughter is a Ktana. That's Xeris HaKosov. That's the way the Torah is. Kiravuna. Dem Ravuna Marav. Minayin Lav Shinamam Lasor Pito Min HaTorah. How do we know that a father has the ability to, on his own word, asur his daughter, because he says she's married, she is halachically married? Shenemar et piti natati laish hazeh. In the parsha of Motzi Shemra, the father comes forward and says, et piti natati laish hazeh. What does that mean? Laish asara. Hazeh hitira. And this is, by the way, the yisod of Pesh Asar Pesh Yitir in Ketubot. Right? Benisun hemne rachon alav b'shvuya lo hemne. So in other words, the Torah only gave Nemanu to the father to say she's asur by saying ish. She's saying she's mutter to everybody but this guy. Meaning, this is the guy. And so therefore we now know who she's married to by saying Hazeh. The Torah gave him that credibility. And therefore that only applies to the daughter about marriage and doesn't apply to Shivya. And also doesn't apply when she's older. Okay. Next piece, which is the second part of Mishnah Chet. Mishamar Mishan Mitato Lish Tibanim Neman. A man's married. And as far as we know, he doesn't have kids. And on his deathbed he says, I have kids. We believe him. Which means now his wife can marry anybody. She's not Zkuka Libum. Yesh the Achim, if on the other hand, he turns around and we didn't know he had brothers, which means she would have been free to go anyways. And he now says, I have brothers, Eino Neman, we don't believe him, and she's still free to go. We have to figure out what the case is. Alma, Neman Lahatere, Neman Masor. What do we see from here? That a man on his deathbed is trusted, he has credibility, but only Laheter, not Leisur. Now, Neman Nitid Lok Rabbi Natan. Sounds like Rabbi Natan does not sit well with our Mishnah. At the time of Kiddushin, if the guy says, I have sons, and then at his deathbed he says, no, actually I never had children. I have children somewhere, Dorton, and then on his deathbed he said, I never had children. Or, when he got married he said, I have no brothers. And when on his deathbed he said, I do, which means in either case, his presentation at the time of Kiddushin kept her away from the problems of Yibum, and his statement on his deathbed suddenly threw her into the case of Yibum. What's the halacha? Neman lahatir ve'neman lasor divi Rebbe. Rebbe says we only believe him lahatir, which means that if he said when he married her, I have no children, and then on his deathbed he said I have children, that we believe, but vice versa we don't believe. If he said when he married her, I have brothers, and then on his deathbed he said I have no brothers, that we believe. All right, Rabbi Natan Omer, after Neman Lasor. Rabbi Natan says, no, we believe whatever his last statement is, whether it's going to help her or hurt her, either way we believe him. All right, sounds like our Mishnah does not jive with Rabbi Natan. So Amar Rava, Rava says, no, the two are not really incongruous. Why? Shani Hatam, the Kevin Shat Mita Kahandabe, here he said something, and then on his deathbed, he went back on it, retracted it. Emakushta Kamar, so we have to believe he's saying the truth. So Rabbi Natan will say, therefore, whatever he says on his deathbed, what, if he's changing an original declaration, he's now, on his last minute, he wants to confess the truth. He really doesn't have any sons. We have to believe him. That's Rabbi Natan's take. Now, Abaye challenges. Amar le Abaye, v'lav kol d'cheinu. Think about this. It should be a kol shekein. Hashtomatam nekamara le l'dibure, in that case, in the Braita, where he hurts his own credibility because he's now retracting a statement. Amart Kushta Kamar, and you say you believe him, even lessor. Manitin lo Karamar le Diburi. In our Mishnah, he's not hurting his credibility at all. He never said anything differently. And then on his deathbed, he says something, right? Lo Kol Shekin, certainly we should believe him. And if in the Mishnah we say we don't believe in Lahachmir, that means certainly Rabbi Natan cannot sit with our Mishnah. Because if Rabbi Natan would say that when you change your mind, meaning you change your declaration, and you retract your declaration, we still believe you lessor, certainly when you never said anything, and now you say a declaration, we will believe you lessor, Rabbi Natan cannot sit with our Mishnah. That's Abaye. El Amar Abaye. Abaye says as follows. Matnitin lo muhsak lan be'achiv lo muhsak lan be'vani. Abaye says the circumstances of the Mishnah and Braita are different, and he's saying this in order for Rabbi Natan to be able to agree with our Mishnah. He says, in the case of our Mishnah, we knew nothing about this guy. We don't know if he had brothers, we don't know if he had sons. Which means right now, on his deathbed, she is not zkuka li'ibum, because we don't know about any brothers. The Amrinan came into the Muzak Lan Bavani Velo Ba'achi, we don't have any chazaka, Amar Yeshli Banim Neman, Yeshli Achim Enon Neman. If he says Yeshli Banim, we believe him, because without him saying that, in any case, she wouldn't have been zkuka li'ibum. Same thing here. If he says Yeshli Achim, we don't believe him because Lav Kol Kaminei Da'asu La Kol Yalma. He doesn't have the ability to asa her on everybody else. Just because he says he has brothers, well, he doesn't have the right to asa her on everybody else. Good. Braita, but what about the Braita? What's the case there? The Muhzaklan Ba'achi Velo Muhzaklan Ba'vani. That's a case where we knew beforehand, before he married her at all, we knew that he had brothers, we never heard whether he had sons. Now, Damrin and Malid Shaker. And he has a claim of Malid Shaker, which effectively means, you have to believe my statement because if I was lying, I'd have a better way to do it. Or if I wanted to accomplish this, I'd have a better way to do it. What's his Malid Shaker? My Kamar, Lemiftor, Miyavam? You think that I'm lying in order to get her away from having to deal with the Yavam? I could have just given her get and gotten her saved of the trouble. You have to believe me. So now, that's a Malid Shaker. Rabbi Savar, Malid Shaker Kedim Tami. He says Malid Shaker is like Edim. It is a clear, crystal clear testimony. And therefore, at the wedding, he says, Yeshli Banim, let's say, and that are Edim Akri Chazaka. Those Edim of his statement, Yeshli Banim, come and uproot the Chazaka that he had beforehand of not having kids. And now we believe him that he has kids. And therefore, on his deathbed, when he turns around and says, I have no sons, we don't believe him. We have no reason to believe him. And Rabbi Natan Savar, Malad Shaker Chazaka Dam, he says, Malad Shaker is equal to a Chazaka. Which means he had a Chazaka of having no kids, and then, at Kiddushin, he said, I do have kids. That's not good enough to change the original Chazaka. Had the Chazaka, Akra Chazaka Lagamri. And therefore, it's still kind of hanging in the balance. And then when on his deathbed, again, he says, I have no kids, we go back to the original Chazaka, and she's Kukal Yibum. Very good. Okay. Next Mishnah, which is, the first line of it is the end of Chet, and the rest is Tet. HaMekadesh et Bito Stam Eina Bogrot Bichlal. If a man accepts Kiddushin for his daughter without specifying, the older daughters are not included. Should be obvious. We'll see why it's not. By the way, most of this Mishnah we already dealt with earlier in the parak. Mishosh L'Shtei Kitei Banot Mishtei Nashim. He's got two wives, and he's got two sets of daughters from each of the wives. He's got a set of daughters, at least two daughters from each of the wives. V'yamar. Kiddush de Biti HaGdola. He comes and testifies, I accept the Kiddushin for my Biti HaGdola. The, I guess the older, oldest, it's going to be misleading. Biti HaGdola. And now he dies or something else. We don't know who's betrothed. We don't know who's free to marry. V'en yodeim gdola shebik dolot o gdola shebik tanot o ktana shebik dolot shehi gdola min haGdola shebik tanot. I don't know if it's the eldest of the bunch, or the elder of the younger bunch, or the younger of the elder bunch, who's still older than the older of the younger bunch. Kulana sirot chutz min haktana shebik tanot. They're all usur, except for the very youngest one. Divrei Rav Meir, that's Rav Meir, because Rav Meir's basic shita, we saw it a few days ago, we'll see it in the Gemara also, is that nachit inish mitzvah nafshe l'sveika. A person will say things that have grave import, in a way that may lead to ambiguity. A person will not distance himself from that, and therefore we have to allow for all the possible meanings. Rabbi Yossi disagrees and says the only one who's usher is the eldest of the whole bunch, because Rabbi Yossi believes that a person does not put himself into a situation of safek. Now, the flip. Kidashi piti haktana. Ven yodeim ktana shebik tanot, ktana shebik dolot, o gdola shebik tanot, shik tana minak tanot, shebik dolot. I was Mekadosh my son and daughter. Does that mean the very youngest? Then the youngest of the older group? Or does it mean the older of the younger group is still younger than the youngest of the older group? What do I mean? Again, Rameir, same shita. Same shita. Now, Haktano, the first comment to the Gemara is about the opening line that if you're Mekadosh, except Kiddushin, on behalf of your daughter who's, on behalf of your daughter without specifying, the Bogrot are not included. What does that mean? That means that all of the Ktanot are viable candidates for Kiddushin. And by the way, that takes us back to the Sugya of Kiddushin Shalonim Sarulabia. Those Kiddushin could never be consummated because you may be sleeping with your wife's sister. And if we have to go get to all of them. Unless you say like Rava, in which case no Kiddushin happened at all. So let's see. The implication is that all of the younger daughters are viable candidates and are Safek Kiddushin. Sounds like it supports Abaye. What's the answer? This is how Rava answered in that sugya. It says there's only one older girl and one younger girl. Which means if you accept Kiddushin for your daughter, then we say it's only the younger girl. Now, the aha bogroktani, but the Mishnah said that bogrot are not included. Bogrot's plural. My bogrot, bogrot da'alma. Bogrot means in older girls in general are not included, but in this particular family there's only one older girl. Now, pshita, if you have just an older girl and a younger girl, then clearly if you accept kiddushin, it's only for the one who's underage. You can't accept kiddushin for your daughter's a bogaret. So bogrot mavi yedayo, what would they be doing there? So achma yaskin and the shavite shliach. The case here is that the bogeret made the father a shaliach. I might think when he accepted kiddushin, he was doing it on behalf of her. She made him a shaliach. So that teaches that a person will not walk away from an opportunity to get hanah in order to do something which won't give him hanah. If he accepts kiddushin for his ktana daughter, he keeps the money. His bogeret, he won't. But wait a second, Milo Askin and Da'amra Le Kiddushilach, maybe we're talking about a case where his older daughter said, do me a favor, Abba, get Kiddushin for me, you can keep the money. So, Afilu Hachi Lo Shavikinish Mitzvah Rami Alei, V'av Mitzvah Lo Rami Alei. A person will not abandon a mitzvah they have to do in order to do something that's not a mitzvah. A man is obligated to take care of his younger daughters. Once the daughter's reached majority, she's on her own. He wants to help her, that's fine, but there's no mitzvah. And therefore, we understand that a person will always, the Mishnah's teaching us, that if he does have younger daughters, that's who will be the only viable candidates because he will be trying to take care of them first. Now, Mishesh Lo Shtei Kitei Manot, we have the rest of the Mishnah, which is Mishnah Tet, with the four daughters, at least, from multiple wives. Now, Utsricha, why do we need the Gedola clause and the Ketana clause? Because they really are inverse of each other. The answer is Utsricha. If I only had the case of the Gedola, I'd say, Bahachkama Rameir. Rameir said it there. They came into Ika Zutramina, because since there's a younger girl, Lahach Gedola Karila. We also call her a Gedola. It's nice to call a girl a Gedola. So therefore, even the ones who aren't the eldest are called Gedola. So then I understand why Rameir reads ambiguity here. Aval Behan, in the case of the Ketana, maybe he agrees with Rabbi Yossi, that when you say Ketana, it only means the youngest of all. It's the youngest of all that we call it. V'idmar Behan, if we only had the case of the Ketana, I would say Behan, come Rabbi Yossi, that's where Rabbi Yossi is clear that it's only the Ketana, for the same reason. But in the case of the Gedola, I would think he agrees with the mayor that Gedola, a lot of girls like to be called Gedola, and anybody who's not the baby in the family might be called a Gedola because she's older than the other one. Alright. Now, shall we infer from here that a mayor holds that people are likely to put themselves in a situation where their words can be read in many ways, and thus to create a safek. And Rabbi says, no. A person will say something with the clearest meaning. When he says Gedola, it means the eldest, and that's it. Is that what we should read? However, we learn the exact opposite approach in Nedarim. Listen, the eighth parak of Nedarim, in that parak that deals with the time frames. How long? Once a year, it's a Shavua, etc., a Shabbat. Good. So, Anodar on a Pesach. A person takes a neder on a Pesach. What does that mean? Asurat Shiagia. You're not allowed to do whatever you took the neder until Pesach starts. If she says Ad Shie Pesach, then Asurat Shie Tse. Ad Shie means until it's complete. Ad Pene Pesach. Ad Pnei Pesach, until the greeting of Pesach, perhaps. Rameir Omer Asur Ad Shiagir, Riosi Omer Ad Shietze. Rameir says that the minute Pesach starts, it's mutter. Rameir says you have to wait till it's over. Sounds like Rabbi Yossi thinks that people will say something in an ambiguous way. We have to read it in the most severe way. Rameir says, no, it's clear. We know it means till Pesach starts. He says, that Mishnah Nedarim should be flipped. Rameir should be the one who says you have to wait till the end of Pesach. Rabbi Yossi says at the beginning. And again, they're consistent with their Shitot. Hatanya, but that doesn't work because Zaklal calls his mano kavu of amar ad pinei, anything that has a set time, and you say ad pinei, that thing, Rameir says you have to wait until it's over, and Riosi says until it actually arrives, which means that you have a brighter that supports the flip. But Abaye doesn't like that. Amar Abaye machloket b'shteki tebanot. The machloket in our Mishnah is about two groups of girls, meaning there's two mothers there. If it's all one group, and you say Gdola, then Divra Kol Gdola Mamash, it's only the eldest. Tana Mamash. And Sa'ib Yishma Karila, because anybody in the middle, they call by name. If you have two sets of girls, and they're two sets of two, then you'll call Gdola, this is a Gdola, that's a Gdola. Fine. Amr le Rav Adam Amar Labai. So he asked Labai, Elamiata, if that's the case, and Sa'id Shebekata Shnia Tishteri. So if that's the case, let's say there's more than two girls in one of the groups, then the middle girl in that group should be mutter. Even in the case where there's multiple groups. Because again, you're saying that within any family structure, the oldest is called the oldest, the youngest is called the baby, and in the middle is called by your name. So even if you have two sets of families, two set family with two mothers, so even within that particular set, if you have more than two girls, anybody in the middle will also have their own name. Good, so the case is that there's only two in each group. Because if there are more than that, we should have mentioned them. Remember, in the Mishnah, it only mentioned four girls in each case. A middle girl, potentially, in the first group, in the older group, certainly would be a safek. Because if the youngest one of the older group might be the Gdola, certainly a middle one of the older group would be a Gdola. So Miktanilan, she's not mentioned. Which means that our Mishnah is not necessarily including everybody. So Hachi Ashta, let's think about it. Hatam, Tanak Tana, Didal, Leisura. We mentioned Tana of that group, Leisur. V'huadin lahach de Kshishamina. Certainly one who's older than that. Meaning the youngest of the older group is Leisur. Certainly anybody older than her, like a middle one, would be Leisur. You don't have to mention her. But if you really have, in the case of the Gedola, you have a middle girl in the second group, in the younger group, you should have mentioned her. In fact, you didn't mention her means that she's not there. In our case we're dealing with is only four girls total. Now, he comes with an elegant solution to the issue of Nedarim. He says the problem with Rabbi Yosef Meir is it's not a problem of our issue of ambiguity. He says, A Pesach t'chichat achat dami upligin. He says, after all, the Pesach issue is like a katachat. It's not like multiple groups where you have these different names. It's a katachat. And nonetheless, Rabbi Yosef Meir disagrees. So how can you say that the Rabbi Yosef Meir agree when it's katachat? So Amarle, he answers, so Rava answered, the issue in the Dharma is not about that. It's about how do people talk. Marsavar ad pnei Pesach ad kame pischa. He says when people say ad pnei Pesach, they mean until before Pesach. Pnei means until you greet it. Marsavar ad mifne pischa. And Rabbi Yossi says no. Pnei means until it's gone, until nifne, until it's finished. So it has nothing to do with our issue of ambiguity. It's not like Rabbi Yossi says, you know what? It may mean longer, so we have to wait just in case. No, Rabbi Yossi says it does mean longer because that's what pnei means. And with that, we have resolved the contradiction, the apparent contradiction, between Rameir and Rabbi Yossi here and Rameir and Rabbi Yossi in Nedarim Perek Chet. We'll stop at this point, and Yitzhak Hashem pick up in the next podcast and continue until Daf Samech Vav, and then we have a number of podcasts left. Till the end of this very, very interesting Perek Shlishi, everybody should have a wonderful day.